O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, December 26, 2014. Well, Merry Christmas, and I hope you got to spend some time with family or friends yesterday. And at the least, you got to thank Almighty God for his plan of salvation, coming to earth as man, Emmanuel, God with us, and got to thank him for a whole host of things and ways that he's at work in your life. Well, all week long, beginning on Monday and Tuesday with An Uncommon Christmas, Wednesday and Thursday, O Little Town of Bethlehem, I've been airing some Moody Broadcasting specials, and we'll conclude the week on today, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, with a portion of their December Live 2013 broadcast, as recorded in front of a live audience at the Medina Baptist Church in Medina, Illinois. We'll jump right in with this production that includes Christmas carols, stories, and fun holiday vignettes.
Here's America's favorite storyteller, Mike Kellogg.
Wow, it almost dazzles, proclaimed Steve as he walked in the front door of his home. He gave Allison, his bride of 24 years, a quick kiss, looked over the kitchen table turned craft center. There were trays of beads and tubes of glitter sprawled everywhere.
So you like it?
Asked Allie, basking in her husband's compliment as she gently crated the still drying Christmas tree ornament.
Love it. It's clever, unique, Allie, he said, setting down his briefcase.
Golden sparkles over rays of sunshine. Boy, wait till the kids come home over Christmas break and see this. I guess I should clean this up and get supper on the table, or is it your turn to cook, Steve?
Oh, well, I think, as you mention it, it is my turn. Hey, by the way, didn't you have a doctor's appointment today, Allie? Blood test thing? How'd that go?
She ducked under the table to pick up the cap to get a glue bottle.
Steve continued, let me guess what the doctor said. Cut back on the cholesterol, lower your salt intake, no more ice cream. Shh.
You know, it's almost like they enjoy scolding us.
Allie was still on her hands and knees, so Steve joined her underneath the table in the hunt for the missing cap. And that's when her hand gripped his arm tightly.
Hey, what's wrong, Mrs. Christmas? Your ornament is lovely, really. There was a long silence. And finally, Allie responded with an icy coldness.
It's the last one.
Allie, you can't quit doing this. You've made ornaments for 24 consecutive years. The kids would never forgive you if they showed up for Christmas. And
it's the last ornament, Steve, she repeated.
And there underneath the kitchen table, Allie melted into his arms, sobbing and shaking. He finally got it.
So, what did the doctor say? Leukemia?
She could barely whisper. He never got the rest of the word out. He was so thoroughly stunned. But Steve knew he needed to stay strong. He gently helped her up from under the table and walked her down the hall to the couch in the living room, which was bathed in the warm glow of their Christmas tree lights. Steve hugged her and kissed her and held her hand for a long, long time. An eternity passed before he was sure he could speak without breaking up.
Look, Allie, this is a slow-acting disease. God knows what he's doing here. Besides, the treatments today aren't like how it used to be. So, Steve, it's stage 4. I'm dying. It's not possible, Steve thought to himself. How could a disease that deadly and that advanced go undetected? What could God possibly be up to? And as he held his weeping bride, he gazed past her shoulders to the many ornaments that Allie had made over 2.5 decades. There were cradles, of course, for the years their 2 children were born. Tiny race car commemorated their son's first Pinewood Derby contest. And a miniature tennis racket on another ornament celebrated their daughter's high school championship in doubles. The summer, the family had taken an unusual vacation out on a farm
was recalled by a white ball with painted black splotches that looked remarkably like a Holstein cow. There was meaning behind every ornament, and Hallie gave them all a name. And after waiting there in a profound silence, she finally spoke. "Pondering heaven," she shared. "That's what I'm calling this one. Golden sparkles over rays of sunshine." More silence. Somehow they got through that evening and the next, and the kids eventually came home, taking the news of Allie's leukemia as well as any college sophomore and senior could. As for the ornament, the four of them agreed that Pondering Heaven was really lovely. Somehow they moved through that Christmas season. A stiff upper lip and a firm upper look, Allie recalled later, often mentioning her growing fascination with that city that has no night. January came, and apart from a lack of energy and frequent exhaustion due to her regimen of chemotherapy, Allie carried on as if all was well. Same for the rest of the winter. She took the chemo treatments in stride. She lost her hair. She found a wig and made plans for next summer's family vacation. Then came the spring, and the disease began to take a noticeable toll on Allie. Steve came home from work one day at lunchtime to find her in bed crying. Nothing seems to be helping, Steve. The treatments are worse than the disease, I swear. But you're doing well, Allie. I'm proud of you," he tried to encourage as he squeezed her hand and prayed. The truth is, Allie wasn't doing well. By summer, she left the house only occasionally. Labor Day weekend, she slept for 3 days straight. By mid-September, Allie was so bad, she was admitted to the hospital where she remained for 2 weeks. But she seemed to rally after that. And then came Thanksgiving, and her blood levels were all over the charts. Her strength, her resistance, and her options were simply gone. Between the pain, the medicine, and her own exhaustion, Allie rarely got out of bed. By mid-December, doctors declared there was nothing more they could do other than try to dull the pain with the morphine pills. But it was Christmas, and Allie was determined to make her annual tree ornament. So she had Steve set up a portable table in the bedroom for those rare moments when she actually sat up. Her glitter, beads, and glue were all ready for when the moment of inspiration would strike. Yet they sat there, along with two silvery ornaments entirely unadorned. "I just can't seem to focus on an idea, Steve," she sighed heavily. "Oh, don't worry. Something will come to you, hon. It always does," offered Steve. But he was puzzled, and he was hurt by what he saw on Allie's craft table as he came to bed one evening. A Christmas ornament thoroughly smashed into tiny pieces, sitting in a pile. Anger, bitterness, had it come to this? He kissed her forehead and turned out the light. Next morning, Allie seemed unusually alert, almost like her old self, and hungry. So Steve hurried downstairs to make her favorite breakfast, a cheddar cheese omelet heavy on the cheese and an English muffin heavy on the butter. When breakfast was finally ready, he put it on a tray and walked upstairs. Allie didn't stir when Steve tapped her shoulder. Didn't respond to her name as he whispered in her ear. He stroked her arms, patted her hands, and lay his head on her shoulder. Steve knew immediately that she was gone. Oh, Allie, everything was like a blur. Ambulances in the driveway, a rolling stretcher in the house, Pastor grabbing his arm as Allie was rolled on a cart from their home. Funeral, frenzy, friends. When Steve finally mustered up the courage to enter their bedroom for the first time since her passing, he finally saw it, Allie's ornament. The crushed pile of broken glass were given new life. The tiny shards had been painstakingly glued one by one to the outside of another perfectly whole ornament. And it shimmered, it sparkled, and it had a small tag that bore Allie's lovely penmanship. The old is gone. The new is here. As Steve pondered this, he realized this was Allie's best attempt at telling the grandest story of them all. Because Christ came at Christmas and rose on Easter morning, we can all know what Allie has already experienced: everlasting life with Jesus.
Thank you so much, Mike Kellogg. Larry Shackley is one of America's most gifted keyboards. He's got a terrific setting of an old Christmas carol that I think you'll enjoy hearing. Sing We Now of Christmas. You're listening to December Live. More great programming on this Christmas special after a word from our sponsor.
So you're thinking about hosting a get-together with friends this Christmas. It's time to send out the invitations. But there are some folks you'd rather not get together with, and they might just show up with or without an invitation. So how do you let them know directly but creatively? Introducing Honest John's Singing Sensations, the un-invitation.
I'll have a blue Christmas if you're
Honest John singing sensations. Christmas cards that are more missile than mistletoe.
He's making a list, checking it twice. Hope all you get is a bucket of ice.
Each card features a message with an in-your-face statement that you just can't miss. Like this one, for your cousin who thinks he can sing, but can't.
Let's take that road before us, but please no chorus from you.
Honest John's singing sensations.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas at some other.
Honest John singing sensations, because sometimes blunt is better.
It's time now for Laughing with the Stars.
Laugh, laugh with the stars.
Ecclesiastes reminds us there's a time to laugh, and that time is now.
Laugh, laugh with the stars.
Well, good evening, and welcome to a comedy shootout with two of America's brightest stars in comedy. Earlier tonight, one of our comedians was voted out. So in this final round of Laughing with the Stars, we'll hear from Laughing Lee and Take the Bait Nate. Your response to their jokes, tabulated by computers, analyzing the laughter volume in the auditorium, along with our judges' scores, all determine who gets eliminated and who wins the final round of our comedy shootout. With joke number one, please welcome Laughing Lee.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you. I just got back from a family Christmas party, but it wasn't quite the same, you know? It was a little awkward, you know? It just seemed like people treated me a little funny. Well, I think I figured it out. At Christmas time, you know, we all get a little busy, right? Right? Well, this year I didn't have a lot of time to buy presents. So I wrote out a check to everyone. A check to everyone. Then I bought some Christmas cards, and on the inside I wrote, "Buy your own Christmas present." Well, then I sent the cards out, and they went in the mail. Well, the problem is, when I got home from that party, I found a stack of checks sitting right on my desk.
If this is supposed to be funny, would somebody please shout? I'm still waiting for the punchline. But Lee, because I'm feeling generous, I'm going to give you a 5, really.
I'm sure your intentions here are good, but this is simply not anywhere near comedy. Not only was the joke not well delivered, even if it had been, it simply wouldn't have been funny. I'm giving you a 5, and that's generous, really.
Mira, chica, I simply cannot agree. I thought Lee was poised, he was funny, he was funny! I'm giving him a 7. Now, let's hear from Take the Bait Nate.
So I went to one of these Christmas tree farms, right, to get our Christmas tree this year. And when I got there, I couldn't believe what I saw. All over the place, people had fallen down next to the tree they were working on. I asked the guy running the place what it was all about. He said, "You know how it is this time of year. Chop till you drop."
Timing is everything, and you gave it everything. Nate, I've got to score you with every point I've got. That's a 10. Right there.
Yeah. Well, listen, if comedy had a king, you must be Midas, because every joke you tell turns to gold. I really mean that.
I have to agree, Senorita Summer. Well done, my friend. I say comedy has a new address, and you, bro, you're it.
Mm-hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time now to announce the winner of Laughing with the Stars. Our Joker of Jokers is... Take the Bait Nate! Thanks for a great season, and join us on many of these stations for Valentine's Live, when another season of Laughing with the Stars returns.
Laugh, laugh with the stars.
Right now, let's turn our focus to the one, the true, the only real Christmas story. Gerson Garcia of Radio Moody brings it to life.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Hirson. And what better way to end tonight's December Live than recalling that scene with the angels as we sing one last Christmas carol. Here's Roy Patterson.
Will you stand with me, please?
Listening to December Live, performed in front of a live audience at Medina Baptist Church in Medina, Illinois. Our cast included Bill Davis, Heather Seagard, Lee Rugen, Nate McMillan, Hirson Garcia, Scott Cruz, Lud Anderson, and Summer Shabanu. Mike Kellogg was our storyteller, with Roy Patterson as song leader. Technical support from Chris Seagard, Joel Swan, Dan Anderson, Tricia McMillan, Mike Harmon, and Tim and Beth Gager. December Live was written and produced by John Gager and is a presentation of Moody Radio.
That was December Live from 2013. I thought a special treat, as all week long we've been playing some Moody Broadcasting specials to keep us in the season and mindful of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. We'll continue with Christmas music through the end of the year with a couple more specials on the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. So be sure to tune in and keep that Christmas spirit alive. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.